priesthood inherent in God, from him it must emanate. President David O. McKay. David O. McKay, Conference Report, October 1967, pages 94-97. My dear brethren, bearers of the priesthood of God, who are in this historic building tonight and in other appointed places throughout this and other lands, I extend to you my greetings and blessings and a hearty welcome. As I once again have the great privilege of giving a message to this vast body of men, I am impressed with the power which you represent, a power given to us not for personal gain, but for the common good and advancement of the kingdom of God upon the earth. Priesthood, an everlasting principle. The priesthood is an everlasting principle that has existed with God from the beginning and will exist throughout all eternity. The keys that have been given to be used through the priesthood come from heaven, and this priesthood power is operative in this church today as it continues to expand in the earth. We see in the divine ordinances conferred upon us and in the revelations from the Lord on the priesthood the solution to every need in the government of the church. This is particularly significant as the church continues to expand. Revelation on priesthood. In the revelations dealing with the appointment of one to preside over the high priesthood of the church and the quorum of the first presidency, the quorum of the 12 and assistants to the council of the 12, the first council of 70, and other callings in the priesthood, such as presidents of stakes, bishops of wards, and local priesthood quorums, the Lord declares the following concerning others who may be called: whereas other officers of the church, who belong not unto the 12, neither to the 70, are not under the responsibility to travel among all nations, but are to travel as their circumstances shall allow, notwithstanding they may hold as high and responsible offices in the church, but all, regardless of their callings, are to perform their labors diligently. Concerning this the Lord says further: wherefore, now let every man learn his duty, and to act in the office in which he is appointed, in all diligence. He that is slothful shall not be counted worthy to stand, and he that learns not his duty and shows himself not approved shall not be counted worthy to stand. Priesthood, a delegated authority. In seeking the source of the priesthood, we can conceive of no condition beyond God himself. In him it centers, from him it must emanate. Priesthood being thus inherent in the Father, it follows that he alone can give it to another. Priesthood, therefore, as held by man, must ever be delegated by authority. There never has been a human being in the world who had the right to arrogate to himself the power and authority of the priesthood. There have been some who would arrogate to themselves that right, but the Lord has never recognized it. The power of the priesthood becomes dynamic and productive of good only when the liberated force becomes active in the lives of men, turning their hearts and desires toward God and prompting service to their fellow men. Just as an impounded reservoir of water becomes productive of good only when the liberated water becomes active in valleys, fields, gardens, and happy homes. Strictly speaking, priesthood, as delegated power, is an individual acquirement. However, by divine decree, men are appointed to serve in particular offices in the priesthood unit in quorums or are to function under the direction of quorums. Thus, this power finds expression through groups as well as individuals. The quorum is the opportunity for men of like aspirations to know, to love, and to aid one another. To live is not to live for oneself alone. Recognizing the fact that the Creator is the eternal and everlasting source of this power, that I alone can direct it, and that to possess it is to have the right, as an authorized representative, of direct communion with God. How reasonable, yet sublime, are the privileges and blessings made possible of attainment through the possession of the power and authority of the Melchizedek priesthood. They are the most glorious that the human mind can contemplate. A man who is thus in communion with his God will find his life sweetened, his discernment sharpened to decide quickly between right and wrong, his feelings tender and compassionate, yet his spirit strong and valiant in defense of right. He will find the priesthood a never-failing source of happiness, a well of living water springing up unto eternal life. Priesthood is derived from God. You who have the priesthood are his servants by divine right. I know the world thinks we are unreasonable, fanatic in our ideas when we tell them there is no other authorized church, but that is true. The priesthood came directly from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, who is the great high priest, and he authorized Peter, James, and John, on whom he bestowed that priesthood, to bestow it upon Joseph Smith. Many of you brethren can trace your ordination within five steps right back to the Savior himself. I pray that we may be blessed with the spirit of humility, blessed with the spirit and desire to be one in all things relating to the welfare and advancement of the kingdom of God. We can do that by sustaining the authority which is always delegated, and when it is rightly delegated, you will be able to go to the source, which is God, in whom is inherent the authority of the holy priesthood. Blessings for the priesthood. May your regional representatives of the Quorum of the Twelve, presidents of stakes, bishops of wards be blessed in your leadership, in your responsibility. May you be true to the gospel. May your lives be examples to the flock, so that you may be guided from on high to bless, to comfort the people over whom you have been appointed to preside. God bless the men who find and assist those members of the priesthood who are weak and those members who, for some reason, have become inactive in the church. We are facing conditions in the world which demand the highest intelligence, the deepest spirituality, the greatest effort that the priesthood of God can possibly put forth. Our boys and girls in high schools, in junior colleges, in universities need our help. Their parents need our help. It is time now for us to put forth extra effort to know the difference between right and wrong. Warn our young boys and girls not to deceive themselves that they can tamper with alcohol, cigarettes, and narcotics, because dangerous effects follow indulgence in such things. I was pleased to read in a local newspaper the other day that the office of the Dean of Harvard University issued a recent statement taking a firm stand against the use of drugs at Harvard as follows. The Dean's office has been repeatedly pressed by members of the freshman class for a statement of the college's administrative position with respect to the use of drugs, including marijuana and LSD, if it will help anyone. I am pleased to clarify our position. As anyone bright enough to be at Harvard knows perfectly well, possession of, or distribution of marijuana and LSD is strictly against the law, and taking the drugs involves the users in psychological dangers and contacts with the criminal underworld. The college is prepared to take serious disciplinary action, up to and including dismissal, against any student found to be involved in the use or distribution of illegal and dangerous drugs. In sum, if a student is stupid enough to misuse his time here fooling around with illegal and dangerous drugs, our view is that he should leave college and make room for people prepared to take good advantage of a college opportunity. Office of the Dean, Harvard University. These things have been forbidden by the Lord and, if indulged in, will lead our young people away from activity in the church, and the Spirit of the Lord will not dwell in them. Resist temptation. Young man, you cannot tamper with the evil one. Resist temptation. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Your weakest point will be the point at which the devil tries to tempt you, will try to win you, and if you have been made weak before you have undertaken to serve the Lord, he will add to that weakness. Resist him and you will gain in strength. He will then tempt you in another point. Resist him and he becomes weaker, and you become stronger, until you can say, no matter what your surroundings may be, get thee behind me, Satan, for it is written, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve. William C. Sullivan, Assistant Director of the Federal Bureau of Investigation, said in Salt Lake City on August 24, 1967, our young people are growing up in a rapidly changing world, and too many of them are becoming imbued with false attitudes and notions of law and order. Their important periods of childhood and adolescence too often lack sufficient character training and parental guidance and example. He pointed out that 49% of persons arrested for serious crimes in 1966 were under 18, and this age group accounted for 54% of the burglaries and 63% of the automobile thefts. Faith in youth. I am happy to see these young men gathered in the tabernacle this evening. They are here by the hundreds, and many thousands more are listening at various designated places, and we want you young men to know that we are proud of you, and commend you for your faith, your courage, and your loyalty to the church. My heart was touched to the core and I was overwhelmed with thankfulness to the Lord for the letters and messages sent to me during my 94th birthday celebration from young men in the mission field, from seminary students, and from other young members of the church telling me of their love for the gospel and of the testimonies they have of its truthfulness. I love the young people, and my heart goes out to them. May God keep them true to the faith and bless them that they will be able to withstand the temptations which constantly beset their paths. To the youth of the church I say, go to our Father in heaven in prayer, seek the advice of your parents, your bishops, your stake presidents, do your duty, that is best, leave unto the Lord the rest. It is a sobering thought to think what this great body of bearers of the priesthood can do to help these young people, and to stir the people to acts of honesty, truthfulness, to stir them so that they will become examples to the world. We have that duty, that right, and that inspiration. Honor priesthood by living righteously. To hold the priesthood of God by divine authority is one of the greatest gifts that can come to a man, and worthiness is of first importance. The very essence of priesthood is eternal. He is greatly blessed who feels the responsibility of representing deity. He should feel it to such an extent that he would be conscious of his actions and words under all conditions. No man who holds the holy priesthood should treat his wife disrespectfully. No man who holds that priesthood should fail to ask the blessings on his food or to kneel with his wife and children and ask for God's guidance. A home is transformed because a man holds and honors the priesthood. We are not to use it dictatorially, for the Lord has said that when we undertake to cover our sins, or to gratify our pride, our vain ambition, or to exercise control or dominion or compulsion upon the souls of the children of man, in any degree of unrighteousness, behold, the heavens withdraw themselves, the Spirit of the Lord is grieved, and when it is withdrawn, amen to the priesthood or the authority of that man. That revelation, given by the Lord to the prophet Joseph Smith, is one of the most beautiful lessons in pedagogy or psychology and government ever given, and we should read it over and over again in the 121st section of the Doctrine and Covenants. Let us realize that we are members of the greatest fraternity, the greatest brotherhood, the brotherhood of Christ in all the world, and do our best each day, all day, to maintain the standards of the priesthood. Let us live honest, sincere lives. Let us be honest with ourselves, honest with our brethren, honest with our families, honest with men with whom we deal, always honest, for eyes are upon us, and the foundation of all character rests upon the principles of honesty and sincerity. God is guiding the church. God is guiding this church. Be true to it. Be true to your families. Loyal to them. Protect your children. Guide them, not arbitrarily, but through the example of a kin father, a loving mother, and so contribute to the strength of the church by exercising your priesthood in your home and in your lives. God help us all to be true to the ideals of the priesthood Aaronic and Melchizedek. May He help us to magnify our callings and to inspire men by our actions, not only members of the church, but all men everywhere, to live higher and better lives, to help them all to be better husbands, better neighbors, better leaders, under all conditions. I pray in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.